If you find value in our show and want to help us produce more awesomeness, there are several ways to do so. Go to anchor.fm/PVOTN and help us monetarily and send us a message. We would love to hear from you. Or you can find us at Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTN Fandemic. That's capital PVOTN, lowercase FANDEMIC, where levels of awesomeness awaits and a chance to be part of the show. If you can't help monetarily, no biggie, share the awesomeness on your socials and don't forget to leave a review. All right, let's get on with the show.
Get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PVOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing, leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh yeah!
Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. This is a podcast about the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I'm Bradley Butin, and this is
Brian S. Dennis with an S stands for Moon Knight.
Or Spectre. Now, Brian and I, we'll be your guides on this quest to level up your awesomeness. We will nerd out. We will get sidetracked. And we're going to have a great time doing it. Now, this is how the show is going to go. First, we'll cover our topic of the week. We'll discuss, theorize, give our 2 cents worth, along with a penny for our thoughts. Then we'll each have our own topic to cover with each other. One of us is going to be a tat. Typically for Brian, it's going to be a riddle for me to not get, but I am going to do a pitch. But first, Brian, when are we going to stop calling phones phones and call them communicators?
I think when they made that cool tone noise when you open them up. By the way, so many of us, we went away from the flip-flop. I think we'd have stayed with the flip a little bit longer. I think we totally would have went with communicators. But now, you know, since most of them have like the flat-faced smartphone, it just doesn't have quite the communicator vibe or when we can actually attach them to our chest as part of a lapel. I think that's what we'll do, which I think is going to be next. We already got smart watches. Now we just need smart lapel pins.
I'm down. Also, Brian, you almost got there on the war report. But because it's been 2 weeks since we've podcasted, Brian, are there any villains in DC Comics that you feel would be a better villain or would be better for Nightwing than Batman?
Better for Nightwing than Batman. Part of me, You know, part of me actually goes, I always felt like, and maybe it's because of the most recent movie, I always felt like Riddler never quite got his due when it comes to Batman. And I think Robin being a younger superhero, and honestly, I always thought that someone like Mr. Freeze would do better with Robin, because Mr. Freeze is always kind of, he's got that brokenness with him, right? He's lost love, he's living out his trauma, you know, similar to Batman. Robin lost both of his parents, but I feel like him and Mr. Freeze could have more of a, again, great dynamic, because again, Freeze is another one of them that kind of gets kind of left out in the cold because of Batman's focus on people like Joker and those other Hush, a lot of those, you know, not that Freeze and Riddler aren't A-level villains, they're probably maybe A-minus because again, Batman, and also Batman's actually off like saving the universe. I think giving him a villain, Nightwing, that is, give me a villain who's really his job is his goal isn't to take over the entire world, but basically to make money. Penguin would probably fall into that as well. To make money, to take over a city, to really set up shop in Bloodhaven. I think that makes them that way. And also, last thing, if I would really love Harley Quinn to return to being straight up villain. I guess that's what it is. Maybe giving him like this. This is probably gonna sound horrible, and I'm sorry where it's gonna sound. Give him some of the female villains that don't get enough of a run, so like Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn. I think that would be great because we talked before. We did this on the War Report. Nightwing, aka Dick Grayson's kind of the heartthrob of the DC universe. You know, have him with it. And they've actually got some previous establishment with him and Poison Ivy kind of having some unrequited things there. I think you could bring in Cheshire as well, especially because that can get him and Roy Harper really heated at each other, which we always like. A sad Roy Harper is a great Roy Harper. Okay.
As long as there's not a needle sticking out of his arm.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, what is it about Green Arrow? You're a Green Arrow fan. What is it about working for Ollie that just drives you to drugs or, you know, prostitution?
I have an answer to this, actually. I actually wondered this before. I'm like, and I actually did a little bit of research on this topic. And the reason why is because they could keep Green Arrow grounded in reality, and Batman got too big. So they couldn't do that with one of the Robins, but they could do that with Roy Harper because, you know what? And let's talk about it. Neil Adams. That was a Neil Adams
yes.
thing. He tried to get that to be Dick Grayson.
Yes.
So, but yeah, it was all because, I mean, and I'm glad it was Green Arrow because those are defining moments in the comics of Green Arrow. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that also, again, is really the juxtaposition of Green Arrow versus Bats. You know, Bruce versus Ollie Quinn, you know, Nightwing versus the various Nightwings versus the various Speedies. Has out, which is still is like the worst nickname ever for the, I don't get why that's the moniker for Green Arrow's sidekick. Yes, he's fast, but Speedy is just, no.
Yeah.
Plus as a dude. As a dude, you really go, hey, I'm Speedy. I bet you are. Okay. Horrible joke.
Brian, I actually, you know who I think should be Nightwing's biggest villain?
Sure. Please.
Catwoman.
I really almost went there.
I think Catwoman should, because of what it would do between Nightwing and Batman.
Yes.
You could tell such amazing stories with Catwoman being like, she accidentally killed somebody. Or Nightwing finds out that she has something to do with Haley's Comet Haley's Circus or something like that.
Sure. But. And I think also because they both got an acrobatic flair, I think you could draw a lot of really cool fights and chases.
Yeah.
And I think it is. And I think it again, because, I think regardless of who Bruce is reproduced with, Selina Kyle is Bruce Wayne / Batman's true love. I mean, I think everyone else is secondary to that. So I can see, again, to your, you mentioned the Bruce and the Nightwing and Batman dynamic. You could see Batman, who's always so astute and removed emotionally and really can see the chess pieces moving around the board before anyone else. Catwoman could be his blind spot, where no matter what Dick brings, Bruce is really refusing to explain it away. It's all circumstantial and really not going down that pathway. And even when it's become obvious, I think it'd be a great moment of humility if I was writing a comment to basically something that you almost never see. I won't say never, I guess we've seen it at some point in comics, but to see Bruce go to Nightwing and go, I need help. He realized that he can't be the one to bring her in because of his feelings. For him to ask to go to someone else, especially a non-powered person. This isn't, hey, Superman, go lift the stadium for me.
Yeah.
Hey, Flash, go run to Europe in 3 minutes. No. This is not only another person, but my protege, again, figuratively the son of the bat. I need you to do this for me. I think that would be just great storytelling.
Well, right. And then you could actually draw some of those lines within the Bat family where, like, how, you know, if there's a line drawn, okay, are you going to follow Nightwing or are you going to follow Batman?
Sure.
How many of them would stay with Batman? I know Damian wouldn't. Damian would be the first one to cross lines. I mean,
I don't,
Jason Todd, he wouldn't. He would follow Dick over.
Yeah, I think Tim would. I think Tim Drake would, or mm-hmm. Red Robin, or whatever his name is currently in the comics. By the way, for so long, Jason Todd was my least favorite Robin. Red Hood has so rehabilitated him that now I'm looking at Tim Drake going,
he's a Green Lantern. They're making him a Green Lantern.
Are they really?
Yeah. Which
okay.
I actually did. It'll be I'll get the issue when it comes out, but and see how it's written and everything. But
is he gonna be Green Robin then?
I don't know. I don't know if he's gonna change his name or not. But like it's like he's like Red Hood, but he's got like the it's all green now.
Sure, sure.
He did conquer fear. So, I mean.
And that's all. So then you go, of the pantheon of, and I mean, we've had other people wear the rings and become Green Lanterns versus it's not just wearing the ring. I mean, Superman's worn the ring, Batman's worn the ring. Mm-hmm. But for him to actually be a member of the Green Lantern Corps, Sector 2418, I will never, ever, ever forget that again.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yes. Yes. Of the numbers that stick in my head. I really think that would just be a great one. So yeah. So I'm going to defer to you that you win the Prevent show, and that you're right. His the best villain for Dick Grayson would be Selina Kyle. So Catwoman versus Nightwing. I think that needs to happen.
Awesome. All right. So Brian, let's go ahead and get into our topic of the week.
All right.
What are we talking about tonight?
We're going to talk about Moon Knight. So for those of you listening to our War Report, you know that Moon Knight is something that we review pretty much every single week because it has been the most recent show on Disney Plus. But Moon Knight, but beyond the Disney Plus show, which has been a really good, strong show that just wrapped a couple weeks ago. Well, I think it's a week ago this past Thursday, so about a week and a half. Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the comic backstory, especially compared to the actual show. So Moon Knight, I'll go a little into the origin of it, but Brad, feel free to ask any questions. But
yeah,
the really thing about Moon Knight is, before we get any further, one reason that I like Moon Knight is, for those that have listened to this show for longer than 5 minutes, know that my favorite character in all of comics is Batman. So Moon Knight, the series leaned more into the later issues of the comic, definitely lean more to the mysticism of the comic. What the original run of Moon Knight basically made him was the MCU's version of Batman. In fact, there were actually earlier comics. Well, Brad, I'll even say, what color is Moon Knight's outfit?
White.
White. And it's always been painted as a white or silver. And in one of the early comics, it was the idea of, well, if you're always fighting at night, aka similar to Batman, why do you wear such a white, silver costume? And Moon Knight's response was, I want to be the light in the darkness, which was kind of a cool thing to say, but also was a bit of a dig at Batman. So even as a kid, I go, wait, what? What? He's the bright Moon Knight, and Batman, of course, is known as the Dark Knight. I'm like, what? So, and by the way, last thing before I delve into more of this, the original character of Mark Spector is actually a multi-millionaire.
Was he really? That I did not know.
Yes. Yeah, so Mark Spector in the comics, at least the original run of the comics, now we'll talk about how he got the money here in a moment, but Mark Spector in the comics was actually portrayed as, now, again, not billionaire as Bruce Wayne is, but a multi-millionaire, and he used the money to have things such as a moon copter, a moon bike, and of course, lots of moon themed weapons.
Sounding familiar? Shark repellent.
Yes. Luckily, he did not have, a sidekick named, I don't know, Half Moon. That could be a weird thing there, but he didn't rescue some small adolescent child, dress him up in costumes and have him ride down the pole. No, that would be a bad look. So, yes. All right. It's always funny. All right. So jumping into a little bit about Moon Knight. First, I'll talk a bit about the series, then we'll kind of talk a bit about the cartoon, the comic, and then we'll just talk about a little thing, then we'll, I'm sure, get into some other things, leave, of course, open for Brad. So when looking at the Disney Plus show, and you have not seen it, please, please see it. And before I go any further with this, there are most definitely going to be spoilers. So the way the series looks at Moon Knight, which is something that also they talk about in the comics, is the idea of this Moon Knight, like all great superheroes, he has an alternate identity. He has a civilian identity. So we start off by following Stephen Lang, who in the Disney show he works at a local museum where his goal is to be a tour guide or a docent, but he's stuck on inventory. And Stephen talks to his mom every night on the phone, and she's a super supportive mother. And he remarks that he has to actually tie himself to his bed. And Brad is now a defunct show, unfortunately got canceled. But a show that takes a similar theme of this is a show that was on Fox called Prodigal Son. If you've not seen it, you should really check that out. All right. By the way, the gentleman in Prodigal Son would make a great kind of anti-hero. He's got that dark kind of look to him, so I think he'd be great in the cast. And you know, we need, and I just want anything, I just want more Luke Diamond Phillips in my life. All right,
I mean, so when, Mamba right there, buddy.
Yes sir. All right, which, you know, I just, they could at least have him be like on one of the Quinjets and it goes down and someone yell. I think it'd be great. Over
he'd
Iowa,
make a good Reed Richards.
He wouldn't make a good Reed Richards. I have a couple of thoughts. We got to cast Lou Diamond Phillips. Keanu Reeves and Lou Diamond Phillips. We got to get them more into the MCU. All right. So anyway, going back to the Moon Knight series, the series follows Stephen Lang. And what we eventually see beginning the first episode is towards the end of the first episode, we see the villain of the show, Harrow, played by Ethan Hawke, is bringing about monsters from the underworld with the goal of eventually finding a scarab that will lead them to the tomb of Ammit, who is an Egyptian god who he hopes to release. So we get at the end of the first episode, which is fantastic, kind of been building to this, but we get ultimately to see the Moon Knight suit. And what we also see is that while there is Stephen Lang, who is British and works at a museum, there's another person in the mirror, literally a person in the mirror named Mark Spector. And Mark Spector, we find out, is a former mercenary. And when Mark Spector takes over the body of the overall body, he is able to pull out the powers of Moon Knight, who is the Fist of Justice, who is empowered by Khonshu, who is, again, the god of the moon. And Mark Spector slash Moon Knight is tasked with defending the travelers of the night. So that gives us that the very base story of Moon Knight. Jump to the comics really quickly before we delve into this. Is in the comics, the origin story is really similar. They do take a couple differences. So Mark Spector in the comic is the son of a rabbi who actually dies and leads Mark to becoming first working for as a Marine. While he was not a Spartan, Brad, he was a Marine. He eventually joins the CIA, and then ultimately where he makes his money is that he is a top dollar assassin and mercenary. One of his missions, he's actually betrayed and he is actually killed. And right before he dies, the Egyptian people take him to the idol of Khonshu, where Mark Spector dies for just a few brief moments. And then he returns to the world of the living, saying he has been healed by the Egyptian god Khonshu. So in both versions, we have Khonshu, who has empowered Mark Spector to be, again, the Fist of Vengeance, defending the travelers of the night. Now, this is where the two kind of take a divergence and where I will hush a little bit on this deep dive, but one thing I always found most interesting about Moon Knight is this. So, you've heard me talk about two really important figures when it comes to Moon Knight. One is Mark Spector. One is Stephen Lang. And who is who? How do these two gentlemen work together? They are different personalities because Mark Spector, the base personality, the person, the host, experiences dissociative identity disorder. And if you don't know what that term means, It's the old school multiple personality disorder. So for the first time in comics, which is one of the reasons that really I dug about this, is that Moon Knight experiences a mental illness, and they pulled no punches with this. This has not been something that was caused by some weird radiation. He's a guy that he experiences a mental illness, and how that mental illness actually empowers or impacts his ability to function as a hero within the world of comics or within the MCU. So with that being said, Brad, any questions or any thoughts about the origin story of Moon Knight?
No, you're doing a great job.
All right. Next up, we'll just talk a little bit about how the series progresses and how this plays into a couple other characters. So Moon Knight, his primary goal is, again, to defend, to punish the people that he is tasked with by Khonshu. So during the actual series, most of this revolves around him trying to stop the resurrection of an evil Egyptian god named Ahmet. And with this, he meets with a character played by Ethan Hawke named Hera, who has the ability to use scales to determine your ultimate goal, including holding you guilty for crimes you have not committed. Now, in a movie called Minority Report, that was just a whole division of government, right?
So but Tom Cruise is going to come get you.
Yeah, you know, Tom Cruise is coming to get you, and you can frost in hell in Halo. So, oh, as a quick tangent, so which Max von Sydow would you want to work for? The Max von Sydow that runs the pre-con division in Minority Report, or the Max von Sydow who's an ultimate judge in Judge Dredd? Who you working for, sir?
Oh, that depends. That depends on my role. I think I would have to go with it being a judge. I think I'd be a little bit more equipped to protect myself when things go wrong.
Sure.
I just think that I would make a pretty, pretty awesome judge.
I can see, with your beard, you totally could do the helmet. Me personally, I want to work for the pre-con division, but I was going to get you beat me to it, but I totally would say ask pre-con every time I got to arrest someone. By the way, I am sure, I would bet Monday there's actually a law enforcement officer that does this. Whenever he arrests someone, he totally goes in their ear, I am the I just feel, yes, that would be just my thing. Would be, you know, if I was ever called, if I worked in law enforcement, this is totally going on tangent, folks. If I was ever asked as a member of law enforcement, which I will never be, if I was ever a member of law enforcement, I was asked to testify and I asked to identify myself. I got a hand on the good book. I got it raised up. And like, sir, can you identify yourself? Yes. I am the, and this would do that. Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then it's yell and for no reason, and it's totally unintelligible. And my friend Adrian shows up and Paulie and the whole deal. And for some reason, I have a robot. Okay.
Right.
I may have gotten the different ones confused there. All right. Anyway, back onto our Judge Dredd dive a little bit. Here's some of the really important things to look at. Judge Dredd, Moon Knight.
You got me, Carl Brad. Urban is better than Sylvester Stallone.
But we've never seen Carl Urban arm wrestle. So we got to see if he can take it over the top.
I mean, that's a little over the top, don't you think?
Nice. Yes, sir. What again, similar to Dirty Dancing, it was the premise was okay. It was all about the music. Over the Top is one of the best freaking soundtracks ever. It's really underrated with the soundtrack it had.
Yes. Oh man, it's defines the 80s right there.
Yes. Which also proof that if you are an absentee father for 10 of your son's 12 years of life, as long as you basically drive him across country in a semi and win an arm wrestling tournament, all's good. All's good.
Wait, it's not that way?
I mean, I don't see any issues if we were to take Over the Top to a sequel. I'm sure Stallone and Mike are getting just fine. Like, there was no issues there whatsoever. My mom just died. Again, yeah. I lost connection to my grandfather, who was really my de facto dad. I'm poor, comparatively, have less money, and you're putting me in a semi-truck. I don't even know where he lives. But hey, it's got to go back to school.
Right. It's across the country.
Yeah, but let's go. But remember,
he never actually delivers any loads.
Wow. He does deliver one in the movie. Do you know? We're going to have to edit this so bad. In Over the Top, he actually makes one delivery in the show. Do you know the product that he delivers? I just watched Over the Top the other day.
No, what is it?
Hey, I'll give you one hint. The product smells like a man. That's literally what it says on the trailer. It is Old Spice? Brute. Nope, close. It is Brute cologne.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. All right. Okay, back to Moon Knight. Because again, Mark Spector smells like a man. Wound up seeing Mark Spector in the show. Reconnect with his wife, Leia, who they actually borrowed a lot of her backstory from another character named Maureen, who is actually Spector's wife in the comic books. But we see them while trying to maintain their relationship, trying to stop Hera, and kind of all the major trials and tribulations of any married couple where one person has not only dissociative identity disorder, but also has superpowers. We get the one of the best things they did in the series, which we get different versions of Moon Knight. So we get the standard version of Moon Knight when Mark Spector is in charge of the body. But when Stephen Lang is in charge of the body, while I like to call them Swaggy Knight, the character actually does have an actual name, which is Mr. Knight, which is just him rocking the coolest white-on-white suit with glowing eyes you ever will see. We see as the two of them learn to work together, as all great personalities do when, again, you experience a sense of identity disorder. They do what you really want to see in this type of show. They win, then they lose. They take a trip to the underworld where they must balance the scales. And part of balancing the scales is that they discover the trauma that actually began the psychological break and created the other alters. And then we have the return to hopefully balance the scales and save the world as they fight a newly released Egyptian god who has now killed several avatars of other Egyptian gods in time for your wife to now become the temporary avatar of the flying hippo goddess with feline arms and become the Scarlet Scarab. All those things, while they're super cool in the show, don't necessarily happen in the comics. So one of the first differences, Brad, is this. So my pop quiz for you, sir. So when looking at the backstory of Moon Knight, we see that one of the things that begins to happen is Moon Knight's mom, or Mark's mom, begins to treat him really mean because someone dies in the show. Do you remember who that is?
His mom.
Before his mom dies, who dies that kind of changes her relationship with Mark? They go in a cave together.
Oh, Steven.
Well, Steven's brother, yes. Mm. Well, his brother Randall, I believe is the character's name.
Oh gosh. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The so one that makes his mom hate him. Yeah.
Yes. So here's the thing. Number one, in the original comics, but Mark's mom doesn't die, his dad dies. But also, his brother, while he believes his brother dies, he actually does not. So hopefully maybe we get some further exploration of this, because in the Moon Knight series, his primary villain is Shadow Knight. And Shadow Knight is his brother.
Dun dun.
And they actually have very similar powers, other than Shadow Knight can also shoot like lasers out of his eyes. But they have very, very,
very, cool.
Very similar powers. So I'm hoping that we'll get the beginning of this. And the last thing before I do this kind of, before I stop on this really deep dive is this. So when looking at Moon Knight really has a couple different shades to him. So one, we have the base personality of Mark Spector. Then we have the presentation of Stephen Lang. But then lastly, but not leastly, we have the most violent of the alters, a cab driver named Jake. Now, in the comics, he drives a cab, but in the show, he actually drives a limo. And we see the introduction of Jake at the tail end of the final episode of season one of Moon Knight. And what do we see Jake quickly do once he... First off, what's a couple of interesting things about Jake that stood out to you? So while Hera is in this nursing home, I believe in Egypt, what language does Jake speak? Did you happen to catch that?
Brad, if not,
it's okay.
Was it Egyptian?
It actually was Spanish, which I thought was quite interesting.
Okay.
But then the other piece of, we see Jake do something very interesting to Harrow. When Harrow is sitting in the back of the limo, talk a little smack to Khonshu, as you do when you're in a limo in close quarters with a god. You talk a little smack. You know, I think he's feeling himself from Gattaca a little bit. You know, once you beat down Denzel Washington, I mean, you got to feel pretty secure in yourself, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I heard he was going to ask Khonshu, does he want to go to jail? Does he want to go home? Khonshu was going to put him on 23 lockdown, shoot program.
He's going to make a read because, from the Book of the Dead.
Yes. But remember, Khonshu ain't got, remember, I think Khonshu actually says King Kong ain't got S on me. okay. Back to this, folks. We love Denzel. But back to the very end of this, and then we'll kind of wrap our heads around this little deep dive a little bit, is what does Jake do to Harrow right after he gets him in a limo? He opens up the door, turns around, and what does he do to Mr. Harrow to kind of end the episode?
Oh, he kills him.
He kills him mercilessly. Mm. So this is where this is going to be very interesting, because while Mark Spector has been again, he was a Marine in a Special Forces unit. He worked for the CIA and then became a mercenary. He's always had some level of moral code. In fact, in the comics, that's what led to him being killed and eventually becoming Moon Knight, is that he was betrayed by more ruthless killers because Mark has still somewhat of a soul. Steven is the oldest born out of dealing with a lot of trauma and actually tries to avoid a lot of the fights. However, Jake is a person that is not only is a fighter, he goes looking for the fight. In the comics, he's depicted as a cab driver, also the one with the least amount of self-control and anger control. And we see something very similar to that in the Disney Plus series. So, a couple questions, and I just want to throw this out to you is, Brad, number one, what did you think about the introduction of Jake at the end of season one, episode six?
I loved it because they were hinting at it for three episodes.
Yes.
I mean, every episode we were like, okay, are we going to get Jake? Are we going to get Jake?
Yes.
And then when we finally did, I'm glad that we got it where and when we did. They didn't just kind of rush it. Oh, here's another identity, you know?
Right.
I dug it.
Kind of like Russian losing your virginity to a super villain or hero. We're not exactly sure what's happening there.
Right.
Yes. Again, if you're not sure where that comes from, we'll listen to the war report. And then the other thing of it is this, and this to me is the most important question. I think I'll text you this as well. Is we know when Mark Spector is Moon Knight, we get the Sacred Rose of Khonshu. We know when Steven is controlled the body, we get the swaggy white on white suit as Mr. Knight. When Jake is in control, what do you think the suit will look like? Any thoughts?
I think it's going to be more hulky.
Okay.
I can see that. Yeah.
Bigger, bulkier.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Veronica with Iron Man. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Another thing that they haven't talked a lot about is that in the comic books, Mark becomes a CIA operative, after he leaves the CIA, but before he becomes a mercenary, he actually makes money as an amateur boxer. So I'm hoping that maybe we'll almost got like a Fight Club feel. So I'm hoping maybe with Jake, maybe we get some of that. Like maybe we get like some big boxing gloves or just more blunt weapons instead of like the really cool moon thin weapons. Mm-hmm. Last one for you. Again, to draw back to the idea between Batman and Moon Knight, did you know that Moon Knight's weapons were all fashioned by, and this may play into it, Hawkeye?
Really?
In the comics, all of Moon Knight's weapons, because when he comes back from the dead, the only thing that he has is where the uniform actually comes from. Is there's a statue of Khonshu that has like the white robe, the hood, the cloak that he wears. And then he pieces together the white on white outfit to become Moon Knight. But he doesn't have any weapons. And unlike Bruce Wayne, who seems to be a master of everything and anything, He actually needed help. So actually, it was Clint Barton, aka Hawkeye, who fashions the vast majority of the moon theme weapon, because Hawkeye actually, as the leader of the West Coast Avengers, Moon Knight was one of his first recruits. So I wonder, since we know that during the blip and subsequently, Clint has spent a lot of time all over the country, I wonder if we will find out that in Mark Spector's previous life, doing a lot of those mercenary missions, maybe Mark Spector and Clint Barton ran into each other.
Or if Mark Spector will make Spector a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Potentially, yes. Uh-huh. And you know who was the... You know who was the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. right before it collapsed? Samuel Jackson, where the L stands for...
Yes.
Oh, you brought it back.
That is awesome. Now, he has four personalities in most iterations. He's four, right?
Well, they count Moon Knight as a personality.
Okay.
So the way it works is Moon Knight, they try to tie a lot of Moon Knight to like the phases. There's four phases of the moon. Mm-hmm. So that the body, we'll just say, has four different personalities. So you have Stephen Lang, you have Mark Spector, you have Jake, and then you have Moon Knight. So in some of the versions of it, one of his delusions is that, because again, in the comics, they lean much more into this being Batman. Again, he doesn't have the power of a Batman with this social identity disorder. So when he's Moon Knight, it's really less Mark Spector putting on the costume and being Moon Knight, kind of like Bruce Wayne becoming Batman, is that he slides into another altar where literally he believes he is Khonshu, and Khonshu uses the identity of Moon Knight to fight criminals. So that's really the fourth personality, is he has a personality that believes he's actually the Egyptian god Khonshu, and Khonshu uses the identity of Moon Knight to be an Avenger.
Very cool. I dig it a lot. Brian, I think we're talking about Marvel. Something else really happened in Marvel just recently, and I think we should probably talk about that.
Go right ahead, sir.
A little movie came out. Doctor Strange 2, The Multiverse of Madness.
Yes.
And so if you haven't gone to see it, go see it. It's different from any other Marvel movie you're going to see.
Yes.
It is fantastic, and it is probably my favorite, if not close to my favorite Marvel movie that's been put out. Absolutely. Let me tell you why. Why is because it's different.
Yes.
And I am a big fan of Evil Dead. And what this was is Evil Dead in the Marvel universe. I wish Bruce Campbell had a bigger part to play.
I was gonna say, but you caught it, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yes. Oh man. Yes, I did catch it. It was brilliant. And I knew he was coming somewhere.
Spider-Man 2. So it's been a while since we saw him in Marvel. Yes.
Right. But I don't want to spoil this movie too bad for you, but the cameos were abundant. And yes, I loved the way that they did the cameos.
Yes.
You got the Monica Rambeau as Captain Marvel.
Yes.
You got Reed Richards. John Krasinski. And which was amazing. The one that was surprising was Black Bolt.
Yes.
And that was Anson Mount, who was reprising his role from the series, which I guess that Disney Plus is now looking into a Inhuman show. So that's cool. And then we had Captain Carter, which is Haley Atwell, straight from the What If. And then we had the amazing 1997 X-Men theme start playing, and you saw Charles Xavier in his chair, and it was one of the most glorious moments in all of film history.
And not just his chair, it was his hover chair circa the comics, because in the previous X-Men movies, he'd always use a lot of this a regular wheelchair in most of those scenes. So now we got to see him in a straight up hover chair, straight out of Picard, looking, just fantastic. By the way,
the 90s suit. Oh.
Yes. And again, bringing all the wisdom of what, I mean, doing everything that we needed him to do, which, and I don't want to cut you off, but I was talking to someone and I thought about this would be great if they were able to do these things a la Spider-Man, No Way Home. Is okay, if we're gonna play with the multiverse, and this has always been, I know we're gonna do probably a more of a conversation, but it's in another show. But one of the things that we'd always talked about is Marvel has, due to needing to sell off some of its more popular products, or lease them out rather than they didn't sell them, but lease out some of the more popular products like the X-Men, like Spider-Man, like Blade. It was like, well, we have like multiple versions of Quicksilver, multiple versions of Emma Frost, multiple versions of Cyclops, even multiple versions of so many of these characters. How are they going to make this make sense? Well, guess what? We also have a multiverse, so we're able to really pull those strings together. And Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, did exactly what it needed to do, and also introduces an incredible new character. It explored more Doctor Strange. It gave us a lot of Wong, and I love that. So it was just, again, I'm with you. If it now is not my favorite, my favorite has historically been Endgame, for that one scene where we finally get Christopher Evans to say the full line. Yep. This one, though, I think maybe, and not to mention, was an hour shorter. And talk about a packed 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I think this really gave us what we needed.
Yeah, it was great character development for Doctor Strange. He's never been like one of my top favorite characters, mm-hmm. but that all changes now. Clea was the Clea came, which I did not know that Charlize Theron was on to play Clea.
Correct.
But when she came on, I'm like, that's Clea. And Kendall and my wife was like, who's Clea? And I'm like, that is who Doctor Strange marries. That is Doctor Strange's wife.
And you know who her relative is. I can forget the relation, but you know who her old, which is why they go into the dark dimension. Her relative Ashley is Dormammu.
Yes. Yeah.
I forget if his daughter or so, or just a similar.
I think it's
being.
His daughter. I think it's his. Yeah. It's his daughter. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So who, you gotta wonder who's got to. So who's got the weirder? If not straight up stepfather, father-in-law, but who's got the weirder father based on my boo? Doctor Strange with Dormammu or Star-Lord with Thanos?
I mean, Doctor Strange, 100%. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and I
don't know. Star-Lord calls Thanos Grimace. I mean, that doesn't really bode well for us being friends.
This is true. Although that Dormammu, he's got other kids too, I believe, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, when you're stuck in the dark dimensions, there's not much else for you to do.
Right. So, well, in the what's the monster? Is that that's the monster dimension, right?
The dark dimension, but yes, it houses monsters. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because exactly, you know who dimension becomes the leader of that dimension, right?
Yes. He was actually punished by sending it there, and then he takes it over. Absolutely.
Deadpool.
Oh,
Deadpool in the comics becomes leader of the I think it's the dark dimension. It's sure. The dimension that has all the monsters.
That would be the dark dimension.
Yeah. 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 But and then you can imagine just Deadpool in this. Although I really wish that Deadpool would start making cameos in all the Marvel movies.
It's gotta be coming, you know. I mean, and you know, like, well, we've gotten a lot of what we, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but we've gotten a lot of what we wanted. We wanted to see them give some good credence to Tom McGuire, especially for Andrew Garfield. By the way, I just saw Hacksaw Ridge again the other day. Mm. He's just an amazing actor. Great movie. I know you really like War-based movies, and it's just a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
And also a true story. Got to give it up for the true stories. But
he's got a TV series on Hulu as well. I couldn't get into it. He plays a cop investigating a murder under the banner of heaven. He plays a Mormon. He's in Utah and he plays a Mormon. And I gave it an episode and I couldn't get into it. I was going to bring it up in the war report, but I couldn't give it a decently positive review. So I decided not to.
Okay. Well, what we'll see is let me bring this up is I think what we've already got is, you know, we obviously from what we, at the end of Eternals, we were getting Blade. We knew we were getting Blade, and we get our first kind of glimpse via vocal of Blade. And you already mentioned it in Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. We got there were more than just cameos because they were in there for a little bit, but we see really the first sighting under the MCU banner of Reed Richards, which gives us a Fantastic Four, as well as Professor X, who gives us X-Men, and just honestly, the term mutant, and two other things that I'm so excited for, and Brad, you probably know where I'm going with this, now that we have the Fantastic Four, now that we're going to have the X-Men, not only do we get the heroes that come with them, but we get, more importantly, what MCU really needs, we get their villains.
Doctor Doom, where are you?
We get Doctor Doom, we get Magneto, we get Juggernaut, I mean, we get all these people that we need. And we've already seen Deadpool and Juggernaut have some interactions. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see some more of it. I think that would just be excellent there. And, you know, there's some really cool Spidey stories even with Doctor Doom. So I think we can really... And did you catch this, which who knows with what the 616 version of Mr. Fantastic will have. But did you notice when he was asked the question, he pointed out that he had not children.
Yes. So you got Franklin Richards.
Yep.
And who is the most powerful mutant ever?
Yes. The Omega level mutant.
So really, are we going to get the Future Foundation? It kind of seems that way. I mean, they could go back and tell these stories set in their worlds. I mean, Now that you gave us Reed Richards, we have to have a Fantastic Four.
And really, and again, we said this on a podcast, and Disney, we know you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
We need, first off, that, by the way, given there have been three Fantastic Four movies, his portrayal in probably not even 10 minutes of actual screen time was the best portrayal of the Fantastic Four. No disrespect to Miles Keller, you're doing well in The Offer. This is how you play Reed Richards, okay?
Yeah, I mean, the guy who played the first one wasn't bad.
No, he wasn't bad at all. Right. I personally like him better in Horrible Bosses 2.
He would have been a better Doctor Doom than anything.
Yes. But, you know, they're given, but what I was going with that point is you've given us this great glimpse of it. Obviously, I gotta feel they're not going to just let it be one and done in this multiverse, in 8 universe. They're gonna give it to us, but please, please, please give it to us with Fantastic Four. We need a series. And if you're ever gonna break your 6-episode rule, we don't need an origin story or do it in flashbacks. We don't need a full-on launching the ship and the rays and watching poor Ben Grimm turn into a brick. We need just, let's hit the ground running. Let's give us Dr. Doom literally in Valeria, megalomaniacal leader that people in his country love, that we all think he brings out the weapons of mass destruction, and we want to see and give us the mask. Don't give us this weird changing in the metal thing that they've done in the previous two. Don't give him any powers, just give him a badass suit. And really, it's really in a world that no longer has Tony Stark, have him just wear the most badass suit ever.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Doom is supposed to be like this knight with a suit of armor. I mean,
that's,
and Dr. Doom is probably one of the greatest villains that's ever been created.
Yes.
I mean, Marvel, yes. DC, I mean, like, we can do such a deep dive in Doctor Doom. Doctor Doom is one of my favorites. Let's do that.
He was the first villain, and I know we're going to move forward in a second. He was the first villain I rooted for.
Right. Yeah, him and Magneto, yeah.
Yes, yes. He trumped Magneto for me just because I was always such a big Wolverine fan.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic Four, I've always in Fantastic Four stories. I love Fantastic Four stories, but I almost always root for him for no other reason than this. I really want him and Sue Storm to hook up. I just thought, you know, Reed just seems a little, you know, kind of like for me when I watch Harry Potter and I just know Hermione and Ron are going to be a thing. And I go,
yeah.
But why? Why? Why are you wedging this in? Give us Hermione and Harry. Give us Hermione and, you know, give us Hermione and Seamus. That's what I want. Okay. So you know what I want? I want Sue Storm and Doctor Doom because he loves her. It's mm-hmm. without a doubt, very much Snape and Lily Potter is totally Doctor Doom and Sue Storm. Like, it is true love. It'll never be, you know, reciprocated, but he still will burn down the world for her, which is what, at the end of the day, isn't that what we all want? Someone don't commit mass murder because they love us so much.
Absolutely. All right. So there you have it. There's our take on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Check it out now. Brian, time for my pitch and then your riddle. Are you ready for my pitch?
Yes.
So I am getting ready to do a new podcast. And you might be able to take part in this as well, but so here it is. It's Superhero Support Group, where it's going to be a weekly podcast about a bunch of people that can come and go, so we can have a rotating cast and you get to create your own character in this. However, the powers that you get to create your own have to be contained into a story that you're going to tell during our support group. This is going to take place on Zoom. All right. And so I'll be leading a support group and I'll be talking about mine. My character is going to have his own power where he can see the history of items. And so he is going to take on a job as like a private investigator and things like that. I wanted to come up with something that I could have as many people on as I wanted. And so this is what I came up with. I don't want anything. I don't want anything to be too elaborate. So no super like Superman powers or things like that. What do you think? Do you like the name Superhero Support Group? Do you think that that's a little bit too big? There's my quick pitch. I'm just kind of getting your thoughts there.
I think the quick answer is I love the name.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the things that we could, again, and I have anything be too big, too grandiose to really ground it down. Mm-hmm. Again, I think that's one of the things that I like most about the Batman movie was that it made things very grounded. And I think that's always in a world where you literally have gods. If you can talk about those things that are much more grounded, I think, again, those are things that we got to have both. And that's a great counterbalance to a lot of the other things we see with the type of material that we get.
Awesome. Awesome. And so, Brian, is this something that you would want to jump onto from time to time?
Absolutely, sir.
Sweet. All right. So I'm starting. I've already started storyboards. I want to do this. Is going to be I think I'm going to do this as a season thing. So I just want to do this over the summer. I want to record 10 episodes and then we're going to put it on. I think I'm just going to do straight up to a Zoom and we're just going to do a live Zoom and then we're just going to throw it out there for the world. So do you think you have any ideas on what kind of superpowers that you think that your character or who you are would like?
I love the idea of having ironic powers as well as powers that are somewhat problematic. So mm-hmm. I would love to have an individual that would have, let's say someone that was really popular, like a social media influencer, but what winds up happening is when under stress they become invisible. So think about someone whose entire identity is based on attention, but when you get too much attention you become invisible. And just playing with that I think would just be really really great. Again, I love those ironic, really inconvenient, quick tangent. That's one of my favorite show, excuse me, my favorite episode of the spinoff of The Boys, where they look at some of those little short mini stories. It's for the ones that their powers, while they got powers, their powers really aren't useful or they're problematic. They have a lot of like unintended consequences of powers. I think that would be something great to do.
Awesome. Awesome. I dig it. All right, Brian, why don't you go ahead and get your riddle ready and then we'll keep moving.
Very cool. I'm going to pop to the other room and grab it. Be right back. All right, Brad, it is time for my riddle me this. So for the audience, I believe you know how these go. I'm going to read a riddle. Bradley will have three questions he can ask. He can make three guesses. Again, I will read the riddle as many times as Brad requests. But again, he can ask me three questions anytime. He can ask three. He can make three attempts, and we'll see if he can figure it out. So, Bradley, you're on a hot streak. I was thinking, I was grabbing some stuff. I was thinking, you know, I think you've got the last three, maybe even last four. So you're on a good roll here. So let's see if we can keep the momentum going, sir.
All right.
All right. So when you're ready, I'll start.
Bring it.
The key to the universe's lock. This three-digit number is the strangest shock. Layer upon layer, it will reveal. From time and the mind, it shall create a shield. Zombies and witches, be aware. Unlucky 13, you must dare.
So, am I looking for a number?
Yes.
That's one question. My second question is this based in Marvel?
Yes.
First guess.
Wrong.
Oh, 616. I'm sorry.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, man.
After seeing Dr. Strange, like, okay, that's got to be this week's riddle. And then I figured, just to run through it for our audience who is not aware. So 616 in the multiverse is what our universe, the primary Marvel universe, is comprised of. So the key to the universe is locked. The three-digit number is the strangest, Dr. Strange, shock. Layer upon layer will reveal. From time in the mind to Infinity Stones, it creates a shield, Captain Carter. Zombies and witches, again, watch the movie, cannot stress that enough. Be aware, unlucky 13, 6 plus 1 plus 6 is 13. You must dare. So fantastic job. I knew you were going to get it. Again, that is on which you go back and check the tape, but I think this brings that either 5 or 6 in a row. I am definitely going to come with a harder one for our next recording, but this one just, we may dive more into this in a future episode, but this, again, I've forgotten count of how many Marvel movies we've had at this point. We got, honestly, getting close to 30 at this point. I cannot tell you how awesome I think this is. For just remember that Doctor Strange, to put it in perspective, Doctor Strange in the comics, before the movies definitely shifted his positioning. But before these movies came out, Doctor Strange was probably a C-level character when looking at popularity. Not powers or anything like that. He's always, I mean, if you put him up in he is the Sorcerer Supreme, in the comics anyway. But he had never been that character that had he had always had a dedicated fan base, but not to the level of a Spider-Man, of a Hulk, of an X-Men, especially Wolverine, even Deadpool, some of those. But when you look at, probably was because of like Ghost Rider. But what we see now between the movies, the material they've created, and honestly, Benedict Cumberbatch's portrayal is just phenomenal.
Want to say goodnight to Brian?
Slime, by the way?
Yes, that's slime.
Slime is amazing. Slime is amazing. Is that store-bought slime? Did you make slime?
She makes it.
Blue is my favorite color. Can you make me blue slime sometime?
Can you make it some blue slime?
Glitter with it?
Do you want glitter?
Yes. I will gladly take glitter.
Blue, okay. Glitter. All right, tell Brian good night. We're going to be wrapping things up in a second.
Good night, sweetheart. Have a good one, Miss Leia.
So, Brian.
Yes.
Okay, so I got I got something for you. So you, I got a little thing that I told my kids this last week. Are you ready?
Okay, let's hit it.
Remember, my name is with a PH and not a V. Some may say I'm a little strange, but I'm at my best when I'm supreme. I've seen the last game millions of times. I can knock you into your astral being. What you can't see, I can see in my third eye.
Lovely. And that, of course, is Dr. Stephen Strange.
Yes.
For those of you that hear the podcast, and I was introducing myself as Brian S. Dennis, I can tell you that that is in reference. Actually, Mr. Strange or Dr. Strange and I do share something in common. However, I do not use the PH. So by the way, he has an MD and his, if you notice in the movie, his PhD. So that PH can matter a couple different ways. All right.
So, Brian, how can we get a hold of you?
As always, please give me a shout on Facebook, Brian Stephen Dennis. Feel free to give me a like or a follow. I try and keep my face-to-face somewhat entertaining. We can always just nerd out. So definitely give me a follow there.
Yes. And you can tweet me at Fandemic3, message me on Facebook at The Fandemic. I'm also now pretty active on TikTok. I've been doing a lot on TikTok lately.
He is ticking all the talks, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. I've been doing some motivation stuff. I've been doing a bunch of comic reviews. So if you like that sort of stuff, let me know. So if you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. Go to Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTN. Fandemic. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefandemic, PayPal or Venmo at Bradley Butin, or just follow or just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Also, don't forget to leave a 5-star review. So Brian, how do we close this up?
As always, please remember, no retreat, no surrenders, and Goonies never say die.
Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. Remember, we're all playing the same game in life, just on a different level. Live free or die empty. Have a great day. All right, sir.
Awesome. That was fun. I know you got to check on the princess to get your nights in. I will shoot you my slides in the morning. I will be at, I'll be there at, it's Valley, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I'll be at Valley about 11:30. Again, it might be me. It might be me and my kid, but we'll definitely top it. We'll have a good time. We'll definitely nerd out, and I'll talk to him about the superpower of being a nerd. All right.
Yes, man. Yeah. And I can't wait for the kids to meet you, dude. It is gonna
jeans
be so
okay
much fun.
Or do I need to do more business casual?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could wear, as long as you have pants on, you're fine.
Oh, shoot. Okay. That changes my surprise. Okay. Looking forward to it, man. Seriously.
Yep. Okay. So actually, I guess it looks like my first period, it doesn't start till 12:30. So,
okay.
12:30
about noon then?
Yep. So you can, 11:45. 11:45, 12. I'm free, so you can always just come and hang out. So
sweet. I'm looking forward to it, man. All right, see you tomorrow.
See ya. Bye.
Later. Bye. What?